Chapter 6, Sundown. We walked to the hangar entrance, and I was stunned by the sight of the plane. I wasn't one to get excited about aviation, but there was no denying it was first class. Finn saw me flounder and stepped back to me. "Is this our plane?" I asked, pointing idiotically. "Yes, well, it's not ours. It's a loaner. You've been on it before. When we need to move quickly, it proves much more convenient than commercial. Come on." Finn took my hand and walked me over to the stairs, bounding up ahead, pulling me with him. He reintroduced me to Captain Kelly, an older gentleman who greeted me with a hug. Also on board was a first mate named Vince, and Sarah, a friendly British girl, both of whom I had not met before, according to Finn. Sarah was the one steward for our flight. I realized they were the crew that Jasper had assisted at the hotel the day before. A quick glance around the cabin revealed cream-colored carpet with a gold swirl through the center, looping gracefully down the aisle. There were white leather captain chairs and two leather couches facing each other in the center. The galley and hard surfaces were like glossy oak. It rapidly spoiled any other form of travel for me, and we hadn't even taken off. As Finn joined the conversation between the pilots and men who appeared to be airport personnel, I settled into one of the captain chairs nearest the galley and buckled my seatbelt. It was almost dark over Newport. I watched the light bleed from the sky into the horizon. No turning back now, I thought. I smiled, knowing there was nothing in the world that could make me. Finn returned and took the seat across from me. "We're all set," he assured. "So are you ready?" He shifted toward me in his seat. "Yes, I'm not even nervous. I just want to get there." I could tell it relaxed him to hear I wasn't afraid anymore. It was almost nearly the truth. "Good. It seems the wind's on our side tonight, so we should be there before you know it." As if he commanded it, Sarah shut the captain door and the engines came to life. As the last of the light faded from the winter sky, we made our ascent into the twilight. The flight was more like being the only guest of a world-renowned steakhouse. We had cocktails, nuts, bread, and a well-prepared main course of filet mignon with all the trimmings. I would be asleep any minute if Finn didn't keep talking. "So you've mentioned Bounce, Brinks, Ari, and Raven. Are there any others I should know about?" "That's all the purveyors, including you and me, of course." He took a sip of his Irish stout. "Purveyors? We have a team name?" My life in crime was sounding more like a high school chess club. "No, it's not a team name," he laughed. "It's just how one of our major clients refers to us. Just caught on, I guess." "So what do we purvey, exactly?" "Let's just say we aren't the smash-and-grab types. I can offer you more detail in private." He glanced over to where Sarah prepared our dessert behind a sliding galley door. "Ah. So is there more you can tell me about the others? Not about anything work-related. Just who they are. Who they were to me." I felt like I was cramming for a final exam and running out of time. "Well, Bounce knew you first. Her dad was from Trinidad, but she grew up in the Bronx, where her mother was from. She has the accent to prove it. You two were close. Losing you was hard on her." "Is Bounce her real name?" I wish I could remember someone who genuinely cared about me. "No, but it suits her. You'll see," he laughed. "So the other girl is Raven?" "Yes, Raven's all talent. She's a striker like me. We can talk about that more later. She's from Colombia and a former beauty queen. She's very valuable to the group. A pain in the ass often, but reliable." I listened closer to see if I could hear any deeper affection in his voice, just out of curiosity. It didn't ring of passion, but there was some genuine annoyance and admiration. "Brinks is Bahamian, a computer whiz. He can do anything you can imagine." "What about Ari?" He was the one that I sensed was the most difficult for Finn to discuss. Just saying his name made me apprehensive, a response I couldn't even begin to figure out. "Ari's in charge, so to speak. I'm not really sure what to expect from him when we get there. If you're asking what your relationship was like with him, I would say it was like you were his student. He respected your tenacity. He isn't one to let too many people in. It sounded like he wasn't really a friend back at the house. I knew it bothered him, but I wanted to understand since a problem between them seemed to have something to do with me. Finn took a deep breath before answering. He's hurt us all, and until I understand it, I can't forgive it. He turned from me and stared out the window, lost in thought. I was dying to ask him what our relationship had been, but I didn't want to make him have another heavy conversation. The beef and the wine were getting to me as Sarah cleared our trays, offering us hot cookies. I took a couple of bites as I looked out into the deep blue darkness. I imagined we were far out over the ocean. I felt my body begin to shut down. I turned to Finn and saw he was getting up. Don't fall asleep there, we have couches. He unbuckled my seatbelt and tugged me gently forward. He lay on one and I sank into the other. Sarah brought us each a pillow and blanket. We had a couple hours left in the flight to get some sleep. For a moment, we lay facing each other. Finn's natural smile began to fade. It felt like there was something he wanted to say, but his eyes told me he was being careful. After more time passed, he rolled onto his back and rubbed his face with both hands, as if trying to clear his head. I'll wake you when we get close, he assured without glancing back at me before closing his eyes. I continued staring at him, deciding he was even more handsome when thoughtful than when smiling. Though I tried hard, I couldn't remember him from my past, but he'd made an impression the second I saw him. Perhaps there was a reason I responded to him so instantly. I fell asleep, hoping it was a good one. Arriving in London as the sun rose was an unexpected pleasure. I remembered Heathrow from my first visit, and there had been a lengthy bus ride from it to London proper. I wasn't anticipating flying over the city itself with the Thames and Parliament sparkling at daybreak. Finn explained we were landing at Northolt Jet Center on the edge of the financial district. I'd never seen London by air except in Mary Poppins. Austere corporate buildings bordered 17th century churches, royal palaces viewed from the steel and cables of the London Eye, a city where the old, new, and imaginary blend uniquely. It was the perfect place for rediscovering my past. Finn took care of everything at the airport, and we were whisked away by a large bullet gray Mercedes. Nobody introduced me to the gentleman behind the wheel, and he only greeted me with a simple nod as he opened my door. It was a black man dressed in an all-black suit and shirt ensemble. It wasn't his significant height or huge build that were most intimidating. His silence in contrast to the friendliness of the pilots and Finn was a bit frightening. Something about him recalled the seriousness of my situation. I was on the ground, and it was time to be careful. We sped quickly through downtown London. Many things felt familiar, but it was hard to tell if they were from my past or just byproducts of popular media. I was thankful it didn't feel completely foreign to me. After my recovery, my mother suggested the same trip to jog my memory. Walking around London, hoping I stumbled on something significant, felt like wasting time traveling backward. I decided it was better to move to Newport and keep moving forward. Now I was doing exactly what she recommended, with one important difference. Finn. I wouldn't be searching the city in the dark. He was my light.